Turning your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 20th Psalm, please, page 607 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and we'll be reading the entire Psalm, noting the second verse, the text verse, Psalm 20, reading the verses responsively. And let's stand together to do so. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt offering, or sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. And together also on the ninth verse, please. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. And let's pray.
The message this morning will be directed to a few people. I want you to listen very carefully. You may misunderstand it if you do not listen very, very carefully. This morning, I'd like to speak for a few minutes. First, I want to talk to the widows. Those of you widows who are rearing your children by yourselves, I want to talk to those of you who are ladies who are living alone. Maybe your husband deserted you, divorce crept into your home, or maybe your husband left and you're left without much income. I want to speak a few words to you this morning on behalf of this church and practically every other church in America. Ladies, leave us alone now. We'll get back to you later. Maybe next Christmas we'll help you again. But now don't bother us for a while. We gave you something for Christmas. We got some toys for the kids. But don't you think that's enough for a while? Go back to your poverty. Go back to making it by yourself. The message I'm giving you is from this church this morning and from most of the churches in America. We'll get back to you. We may even give you a Thanksgiving basket, but don't mess with us now until next Thanksgiving. I'd like to say a few words this morning to you poor kids who've been helped. This word to you, the churches of America, don't bother us anymore. We've salved our conscience. We feel better now. We gave you some toys for Christmas. We sent you something to eat. Now leave us alone for a while. We'll help you next year. Our conscience is soothed. Get by the best you can. Go back to your ghetto, you little snotty-nosed brats. Do the best you can. We'll get to you some other time. When we feel guilty again, we'll call you. We want that good feeling again. We'll get word to you, but now just don't bother us. Don't get in our way. Maybe next Christmas. I'd like to say a word to those of you or to those in rest homes, and you can take the message to them. A message from our church and the churches of America. You folks in rest homes, just lie there. Don't expect to hear from us again. We came to see you during Christmas. We sang you some Christmas carols. Now, what do you expect from us? We have our own lives to live. We haven't got time to come and see you all the time, all year long. Just leave us alone now. I know you got it tough, and I know you're in the rest home, and I know your world is one room, and I know your horizon is four walls, and I know your ceiling, or your sky is a ceiling and your ground is floor. But now leave us alone. You're in the rest home. We haven't got time to be bothered with you 365 days a year. We have our own problems. Good night. I'd also like to speak a word to the families of our church people for a few minutes. You've had your gift for a year. Listen, Mom, we have our own lives to live. After all, you get a check from the welfare once a month. Don't bother me, Mom. We'll write you next year. You got a Christmas card. We may even write a check for $10 or good night. If we, that makes us feel real good, we'll write a check for $25 next year. But don't bother us now, Mom. You older mothers, now don't bother us. We're in the busy time of life. We haven't got time to write you every week and call you. I mean, just sit there at home and wait for the phone to ring and check the mailbox. But don't expect us to do it. We've done it now. We sent you a present for Christmas. We sacrificed and sent you a new handkerchief. Even had your initial in one corner of it. And you don't expect us, do you? Spend to write you every week, and it just don't bother us. We've got our lives to live. And of course, if you don't have any place to live, make it the best you can. We have three kids, only four bedrooms. We can't ask you to live with us. I mean, after all, you had your life, you had your day, and now we've had ours. Don't mess with us now for a while. I'd also like to speak a word to the orphans this morning. Those of you who've been orphaned, stay out of our way. Now, look, what more do you want? We gave you a Christmas present. We sent you a basket. We even put on a big red suit trimmed in white and put it on a big fat fella. And we came to see you and played Santa Claus. Now, don't bother us, orphans. Get out of our way. We'll see you again next Christmas. I mean, we may even see you Thanksgiving. Or if you have a birthday, we might even see you then. Or if we want to have a big crowd in Sunday school, we'll come see you. If we want to break a record in Sunday school now, you'll be hearing from us. We'll come to see you. But you little orphan brats, wipe your snotty noses and get back to your ghetto. We've helped you. Don't bother us now for another year. I'd like to speak a word this morning to the college people having a tough time. You college couples who are unemployed and having a tough time financially. Now look, folks, we gave you some money for Christmas. Now, we can't keep you up all the time, and we dead sure not going to feed you. Now, make it the best you can. We've had our good feeling. We feel good now. Oh, we gave you some money. We even gave, my family even gave $10 in the special offering on Wednesday, and you have no idea how good I felt when I dropped that money in that plate. Boy, I just tingled all over because of what I was doing. But now, leave us alone. We ain't got time to mess with you. Starve if you want to, but leave us alone. We'll see you again next Christmas, or if we need that good feeling again, we'll see you again. I want to speak a word to the shut-ins. Don't expect us to come by and sing till next Christmas. I mean, just go ahead and stay there and rot. But we came by and made our annual visit. Telling them. Staff this morning, one of the funniest things I ever heard about was when Dave was a teenager. He and Jim Crawl got a bunch of our kids together in July, put on earmuffs, parkas, heavy coats, and gloves, and went Christmas caroling. There they were in July, standing out in front of the Colston's house, and they lived on Columbia, one of the busiest streets in the area. Lived on Columbia then, went by their house. And they were out there in earmuffs and parkas and gloves singing in July, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And glory, can you imagine what the neighbors thought about the Colston's friends? What I'm trying to say is this, folks. This is a busy age. And we have our lives to live. We can't be bothered with you shut-ins. Now, if we get to feeling guilty, we'll come to see you again. And we may even bring you a sacrificial loaf of bread. But don't bother us now. Look, this is not Christmas. Christmas is over. Leave us alone. I want to say a few words to those of you who serve in public places. Those who work at service stations and the grocery stores and the shops. And department stores. Don't you expect a smile from us anymore. You've had it for the year. I mean, we're not going to walk in and be nice anymore. We got problems on our mind, and we're not about to smile at you. We smiled at you for a couple of weeks. Now, let that last for a while. You think we're going to say good morning to you every time we come in to get our gas tank filled? You think we're going to say hello and a howdy good morning and a happy day and hope you have a good day to you? You think we're going to say, oh, no, of course not. We got problems. We haven't got time to
be about that. Now, just go ahead. A word to the hungry. Go ahead and starve. What do you expect from us, anyhow? I mean, look, charity begins at home. There are a lot of other lies spreading around the country like that, too. I mean, what do you expect? We fed you for a week. We gave you turkey. Now, starve, you little snotty-nosed brats. Just make it the best you can, you poor widow. We fed you, and boy, we feel good. I'll tell you, Christmas at noon, when we ate, we thought about you, and we thought, boy, he's eating a Christmas dinner because I had something to do with it. Boy, did we ever feel good. But now we don't need to feel good all the time, so you just leave us alone. I'd like to speak to all the poor across America on behalf of our fundamental churches. I'd like to speak to all the widows and all the orphans and all the folks in rest homes and all the hungry and all the cold and all the lonely and all the depressed and all the sad and all the sick and all the weary. This word from the fundamental churches of America, leave us alone till we call you next time. The sin of such hypocrisy. I'm sorry to have to bring that message to you. I'm ashamed that's the way it is. But like it or not, that is the way we live. Our message is to the world. We'll give you some old toys and old broken, worn-out clothes. We'll give you a little money. We may even give you a turkey dinner twice a year. But the fundamental church says, leave us alone. We enjoy our nice pews. We have our nice clothes. We have our nice houses. We drive our nice cars. We have our luxury. We have air conditioning. We have central heat. We have air-conditioned cars. We have good jobs. We have good clothing. We have good food to eat. Now leave us alone. We haven't got time to mess with you. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Church of America commits one sin, it's that sin of giving to certain seasons, doing that which ought to be done every day of the year. You know, we have absolutely taken the Christian life and filed it in different files and pull it out and use it in certain seasons. For example, everybody knows you're not supposed to go soul winning during Christmas time. Everybody knows that. Let the world go to hell. It's Christmas. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana has done for 2 weeks. That's exactly. We're too busy to tell anybody about Jesus. Let the bus routes go to the devil. Fool you on the Sunday school classes. Away with all our special ministries. This is the season to be jolly. And there's nothing in the world the devil enjoys any more than our little self-imposed Lenten seasons that take a little bit of God's work and do it now and then something else. Listen, I don't like Lenten season. I'm against Lenten season. Brother, if it's right to do for 40 days a year, it's right to do 365 days a year. And if it's wrong for 40 days a year, it's wrong 365 days. If you give up smoking for Lenten, then give it up for the whole year. If you give up drinking for Lenten, give it up for the whole year. If you're going to be nice and courteous during Lenten season, be nice and courteous all the time. That's one reason why Good Friday doesn't do a thing for me. Unless you have 52 Good Fridays a year. The devil likes to say, okay, folks, here's Christmas time. Let's sing the Christmas songs for 2 weeks. Let's preach the Christmas story for 2 weeks. Then the devil says, put it back in the drawer. Forget the virgin birth for the rest of the year. I mean this. Brother Ray, we ought to sing Silent Night sometime in July. We ought to sing Joy of the World sometime in October. We have fallen prey to the devil's attempt to make us remember the birth of Christ 2 weeks a year and forget it for 50 weeks a year. That's one reason why Easter Sunday doesn't really move me a great deal. When we put on our Easter bonnets and come and all show them off, it doesn't move me a great deal. And that's why I don't care about pastoring an Easter Sunday type church. I used to preach my meanest sermons on Easter Sunday morning. Why? There's nothing that the devil enjoys. And you know it. When did you hear a sermon on the resurrection except on Easter Sunday? When did we ever sing, "Up from the grave he arose"? When did we ever sing that except on Easter Sunday? I mean, the devil has gotten us to specially emphasize this grave. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this resurrection of Jesus is the keystone that holds everything else up in the Christian faith. If Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not risen, then our salvation is vain. If Christ be not risen, our loved ones will be in the grave forever. If Christ be not risen, there's no heaven. There's no eternal life. And yet the devil causes us to emphasize it. One Sunday, one day as it were, a year. And then we forget it for 52 weeks. I serve notice on you that your aged mother still has a mailbox between now and next Christmas. And I serve notice on you that that little lady in the rest home is going to be there lonely and forsaken and forgotten every day between now and next Christmas. And I serve notice on you that little children are just as hungry on March the 13th as they are on December 25th. And I serve notice on you that little cold feet can freeze as much in February as they can in December. And I serve notice on you that lonely people need cheering and sick people need praying for and hungry people need feeding and cold people need clothing and discouraged people need cheering 365 days a year. Let me read you something. You don't need to turn to it. Let me read what the New Testament church said. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And that word continued means that they constantly did it. They continued with one accord. You know what I think is wrong? We sang, "Peace on earth and mercy mild," once a year. We talk about peace. We stack our arms and sheath our sabers. And for once a year, we do that we ought to do 365 days a year. The New Testament church continued. The Bible said they continued one accord. And over here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And in verse 46, it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking their bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And they continued praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Now, there are two groups today that need to get right with God. Those of us who've forgotten every vestige of service for God since the 1st of December. Or December 15th. Those of us that have said, "Fooey on you, bus route. Fooey on you, Sunday school. Fooey on you, unsaved people. Fooey on you." And then I'd like to say this. Those of us that have gone to our cupboards and put locks on them till next Thanksgiving. Those of us who have stored away our good mornings and filed away our happy smiles and laid aside our help and our benevolence. The Bible said, they continued. Look, what am I saying? Our text says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary." Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Listen, everybody, listen. If the Church of Jesus Christ does not send help to people who are in need, pray tell me who's going to do it. We found out the government can't do it. There's no way. We broke the richest nation on the face of the earth trying to feed the poor. It never was Mr. Reagan's job to feed the poor. God didn't intend for Jimmy Carter to feed the poor. He hadn't got that many peanuts. God never intended for a national welfare. God never intended for that. God intended for families to feed their own. And for those that had no families, like widows and orphans, God ordained that the Church of Jesus Christ ought to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do not send help from the sanctuary, where, pray tell me, is this sad world going to get help? I mean, the taverns aren't going to do it. Public schools aren't going to do it. X-rated theaters aren't going to do it. Adult bookstores aren't going to do it. And by the way, the liberal churches aren't going to do it either. If the hungry people in this area are fed, the fundamental Bible-believing churches are going to have to do it. And I stand this morning on the first Sunday of January, 1982, to declare to you, my people, every hungry body in this area is our responsibility. And every little barefoot in this area is our responsibility. And every cold body in this area is our responsibility. And every lost soul in this area is our responsibility. And I come with a message of Psalm 20 and verse 2 that says, send the help from the sanctuary. The sanctuary in those days was the house of God. And I charge you, my people, this morning to say we have felt how it feels to feed the poor. Let's feel that way all year. We know the joy of helping someone who's unemployed. Now, let's know that joy all year long. We felt the excitement of putting nice clothes on little bare backs and little nice shoes on little unshod feet. Now, let's feel that joy all year long. It is the hypocrisy of hypocrisy for a church to do what we've done and thank God for what's been done during this Christmas season here in this church. There's not a place in this world where more people have helped more people than we have in this place in Christmas season. Now, that's not enough. Young people, sit still over here. Sit up straight and hear me. Have a child over there. Listen to me. This is no music park. This is church. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not concerned about pastoring a church that's only a New Testament church 2 weeks a year. I want to belong to a church whose eyes are moistened with tears 52 weeks a year, whose heart beats for the sad, the lonely, the shut-ins, the widows, the orphans, 52 weeks a year. The Bible says the church continued. They continued in prayer. They had the same love for Jesus all the time that they had in those 10 days before Pentecost, 10 days of prayer before Pentecost. They had the same burden for souls all the time that they had during those 10 days. The Bible said they continued in fellowship, one accord. They had the same love for each other. They had the same smiles. They had the same courtesies. They had the same friendliness. They had the same graciousness. The Bible says they continued in fellowship. They went to church as much then as they always do. When you came to church on Christmas Sunday, that you didn't discharge your responsibility to God for the whole year. And you come to church on New Year's Day or New Year's Sunday, you have not discharged your... Listen, every single member of this church is obligated to God to be here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, being faithful to the Church of Jesus Christ. They continued. They continued. They didn't spurt and stop and spurt and stop. They continued. They didn't get up on Sunday morning and say, shall we go or not? They got up and took off for church. They didn't, Sunday afternoon, didn't say to the wife, are we going to go tonight or not? They went. They didn't say on Wednesday night, is it too icy outside? They went. And on this first Sunday of 1982, I charge you for the sake of my clients out there. I stand this morning on my knees on behalf of those poor little children all over this area that need us all the time. I stand here and plead with you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for my client in a rest home who needs you all year long. I stand this morning, Your Honor, and plead with you For though my client this morning, that little barefooted boy, that hungry child, that widow who's trying to make ends meet on a penury existence, I plead with you on bended knee, they need us all the time. Our message to the world is, leave us alone for 50 weeks. Our message to the world it ought to be, we'll see you next week. The Bible says, they continued in breaking of bread. They continued in gladness. They continued in praising God. Somebody asked me yesterday, did you have a good Christmas? And I said, yeah. And I also had a good December 26th. Somebody said this morning, are you having, did you have a happy New Year? I said, yes, sir. And I have a happy 1981, too. And a happy 1980. And a happy 79. And a happy 78. And a happy 77. And a happy 76. And I had a happy January 2nd. And I'm having a happy January 3rd. And tomorrow, I'm going to have a happy January 4th. Why? Because I don't chop my ear up in pieces and have this today and this today. I believe everything in this book ought to be lived 365 days a year. New Testament church continued in prayer. They continued in feeding the hungry. They continued in fellowship. They continued in love. They continued in soul winning. They continued in service for God all the time. Thomas Aquinas visited Vatican City in Rome many, 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 many decades and centuries ago. The Pope was showing him around. The Pope reminded Thomas Aquinas of that statement that Peter and John made one time. They saw that poor blind man, crippled, lame man. He asked them for something. And they said, silver and gold have we none, but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Pope showed Thomas Aquinas all the wealth of the Vatican City. He showed Thomas Aquinas the gold and silver and the paintings and sculpture. And as he finished his tour, he said, Mr. Aquinas, I guess it can be said now that the church does not have to say, silver and gold have we none. Well, we have silver and gold. We cannot say that like Peter said it. Silver and gold have we none. And Thomas Aquinas said, that isn't all, you don't have to say that. He said, the church can no longer say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Folks, I know what it is. Now, my feet today are covered with a nice pair of shoes. I know what it is for those feet, before they're as big as they are now, to freeze. I know what it is for the church to give me an old pair of shoes on Christmas. Then along about next fall, those shoes wore a hole in them. Only had one pair of shoes, and that was handed down. I've seen my mother take a piece of cardboard and cut that cardboard to fit the shoe. And I've seen that cardboard with one little rain get soaking wet. And I can recall wondering, where's the church? I've seen the Thanksgiving baskets. I've seen the Christmas baskets, but I can recall between Christmas and Thanksgiving, we'd have starved to death almost. I can recall saying to myself, where's the church? Where's the church? I'll tell you where the church is. The church is still adjusting its halo from what she did on Christmas. The church is still feeling that warm feeling for what we did. Listen, folks, you eat three meals a day. You expect to feed the poor one a year? I know. I've been there. I've felt the hunger pain. I've seen my mother take the cushion from the sofa, stack them on top of my feet because my feet were cold and we didn't have enough cover to put on the bed. I've seen my mother put me to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Because we didn't have any wood to put in the stove to keep us warm. I've seen my mother put cardboard in the windows again and again and again to try to keep the howling wind from blowing out the kerosene lamp.
I've seen my mother put an empty empty plates on a barren table with not one bit of food again and again, and heard her bow her head and ask the blessing and thank God for the food. We didn't have one bite of food to put on the table. I know what it's like. And it is a crime and a sin under God Almighty for us to stop doing what we've been doing for 2 weeks. Let it be said of First Baptist Church in Hammond, they continued in feeding the hungry. And they continued in giving clothing to those who were cold. And they continued putting shoes on little cold feet. And they continued bringing cheer to those languishing in rest homes. And they continued. How about going out sometime in the month of April, standing outside some shut-in's window and singing the songs like Jesus Saves? It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? To share. And anybody in this room today who's given sacrificially during this Christmas season, you know that the happiest moment you spent in the Christmas season was when you saw the faces of those people that you helped. And that same blessing is available for you all year long. Send thee help from the sanctuary. I'm no saint. I'm no saint. I'm not sure if I even sent you fellows on the platform a Christmas card. But you'll hear from me throughout the year. I know. I've been there. Every time I drive down the streets of Chicago, in our neighborhood, tears fall down my cheeks. You will leave this service this morning and go to a nice home. Most of you will walk on carpet. Most of you have a coat to put on that will keep you good and warm when you leave. And most of you have clothes now that if the best nation in the world outside us had them, they'd feel like they were living in luxury. And most of you will get a key and put it in your car after the service this morning. And you'll just turn that key a little past the usual spot and a starter will start that piece of machinery. And you'll just flip something like that and turn the fan on and push something like that and turn the thermostat on and the car will be heated in 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And most of you will sit down at lunch to a decent meal. But while you do, don't forget this. Most of the world is hungry. If I've eaten 3 meals a day, and I'm finished. If I've eaten 3 meals a day this year, that means I've eaten over 1,000 meals. Now, I want to tell you something. If I've eaten 1,000 meals 1,000 times before I ate, I stopped to think of a hungry world. They continued. Steadfastly, they continued. And I say this morning, send thee help from the sanctuary. Father, bless them.